Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on the seventh perek of Sefer Shmuel Aleph. Now, interestingly enough, even though we have really been talking about the Aron in the last two chapters, this has actually been an aside from Shmuel itself. We actually haven't been talking about Shmuel at all. Well, we last left Shmuel as a young lad who was Godol Vatov. He was growing up and he was becoming good under the house and the tutelage of Eli. We heard about his first prophecy, but we don't really know what happened to him afterwards. So now we segue back into the story of Shmuel. So the Aron returns to a place called Kiryas Yearim. This is where they sent the Aron after its time in the place of Beit Shemesh and the ensuing disaster that happened after that, and stays in Kiryas Yearim for 20 years. And at this point, after 20 years, Israel starts returning to Hashem. Remember, they're in a state of spiritually decrepit state under the leadership or the lack of leadership of Eli's two sons. And there's a reformation, there's a process of Baal Tshuva movement happening right now, 20 years later. So Shmuel gets up and gives a very passionate speech, and he says, "Im b'chol levavchem atem shavim al Hashem, if you really want to turn to Hashem with all your hearts, hasiru es alok eloi hei hanechar mitochachem v'ashtaros, remove all the terrible idols in your midst, and really return to Hashem, and then Hashem will save you from the Plishtim." And that's exactly what they did. And they served Hashem only. Meaning to say, up till now, they were obviously hedging. They would serve Hashem and the Canaanite gods of the Philistines, you know, just in case, to make sure that the rain gods were also happy. And that's not acceptable. And so finally, they actually said, no, monotheism means only one God. And they're going to now, they finally accept this. Now, in response to this really genuine movement, Shmuel now does something interesting. He gathers everybody in an area called Mitzpah. Mitzpah has been a gathering point for many times already in Shoftim, and it's going to continue to be an important place for Shmuel and later on. He gathers everybody in this place called Mitzpah, and he starts bringing a korban. They pour water in front of Hashem. They do like a nisuch of mayim, and they fast on that day, and they say, "Hashem, we've sinned in our lives." And Shmuel was shofet es Israel b'mitzpah. So obviously Shmuel was taking a very strong leadership position when it came to what they were responsible for. However, while this was all going on, in the meantime, the Philistines, who clearly have the upper hand militarily at this point in time, notice that there's a gathering of Israelites, and whenever your underlings are gathering, it is not a good sign. And so they start gathering their war hosts to attack the Israelites who they think are gathering for war when they actually are gathering for prayer. When Israel notice this, they immediately turn to Shmuel and they say, "Shmuel, al tachresh mimenu mizoik el Hashem elokeinu. Please don't keep quiet now from calling out to Hashem. Save us." So what does Shmuel do? Shmuel takes a tlei chol ve'echad. He takes a nursing calf, and he brings it as an oila to Hashem, and he says, "Hashem, save Israel." And Hashem answers Shmuel, and explicitly a huge sound is emitted, and which terrifies the Philistines. The Philistines fall into disarray, into disunity, into discord, and the Israelites attack them and destroy many of them. To the point where that Shmuel takes a stone and places it in the at the point where the Philistines flee to, and he calls it the Even Ha'ezer, the place where the rock where Hashem helped us until. And this was such a powerful, explicit statement of Shmuel's divine power that the Philistines never attacked Israel the entire rest of the life of Shmuel. So this is, Shmuel obviously is incredibly powerful. We'll see it towards the end of Shmuel's life. After Shmuel's, at the end of Shmuel's life, we're going to see the Philistines will encroach back again, of course. But nonetheless, at this point in time, there's not going to be an overt attack in the same way. And they actually return all the Philistines return all the cities which they captured from the Israelites, and there is peace between them and, in fact, the Amorites who are also around them. The way this perek ends is very powerful. It says, "Vayishpot Shmuel es Yisrael kol yimei chayav." From there onwards, Shmuel was the judge over Israel for all the rest of his days. He lived up to, if I'm not mistaken, 52 years old. So Shmuel served, and just as an interest, he is, of course, Shmuel, this is the period of time as a person dedicated to the temple. A Levi would serve for 50 years or up to 50 years, and this is sort of a representative of that, as Rashi tells us, the beginning of the Sefer. He would make circuits around Beis El, around Gilgal, around Mitzpah, the Shafat Israel es kol mekoy Moisaele, and he would judge Israel in all these places. Utshuasa Ramasa Kisham Beisai, he used to live in Ramah, that's where his house was. Visham Shafat Israel, the Yiven Sham Izbeach Hashem, and it is an altar there because of course there was no Mishkan at this time. Just a few points to think about in this perek. Number one is, why did it take 20 years after the Aaron returning to Kiryas Yearim for there to be this spiritual reformation and Shmuel to really take charge? And the Rashi says the answer, which is really a truly human answer, and that is that it took a long time to effect change. Al Yadei Shmuel Hoya Machzir Me'ir Li'ir V'Shoftum U'Machicham. It was an incremental process. Shmuel went from city to city, spoke to people, preached, talked, and was probably disgraced in many cities at the beginning, and probably was ignored in many others at the beginning, and it took 20 years. Now just think about this. He has one of the most powerful Jewish leaders in all of history, and it took 20 years for him to start affecting this teshuva movement. But that's what it takes. It takes a long time to change people, and this is what is happening over here. This just gives us a little bit of perspective on the process of change. What made Shmuel so successful? The Elia Rabbah, which is a Midrash in the Ishalom Parashah Yod Beis, says, and this is really what the crux of the success of Shmuel's leadership is, because this parak really describes the success of Shmuel's ascent to leadership, and we'll conclude with this. The Midrash says the following, and I really want to read it to you in the original Hebrew text because it is so powerful. It really says everything that Sefer Shoftim wasn't in what Shmuel is. V'shem ha'tomar, oson shivim ish shenehergu b'givas b'nei binyamin, b'ma nehergu. Why was it that there was these 70,000 people were killed in the Giva? Remember, in the war of Pelegash v'Giva at the end of Sefer Shoftim, we talked about 70,000 people being killed. Why was there so many people died? So the Midrash says, it should have been that the Sanhedrin, which was left behind by the leadership of the previous generation, should have tied belts around around themselves, lifted up the skirts of their coats above their ankles, v'yachzeru b'chol ayaras Yisrael, and they should have made circuits around all of Israel. Yom echad b'Beisel, one day in Beisel. Yom echad l'Chevron, one day in Chevron. Yom echad l'Yerushalayim, one day in Yerushalayim. V'yelamdu es Yisrael derech eretz, so that all Israel should know how to conduct regular life. B'shana, b'shtayim, v'sholosh. Every year, ad sheyis yashvu Yisrael b'artzom, and then Israel would really settle down properly in their land. Yisgadal v'yisgadash shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'olam kuloi shebora misof olam ad sof. And that's the way the greatest Kiddush Hashem could have been achieved. When everybody knew what it means to live in a land as mentioned, as people who respected each other and the people around them, and to serve Hashem. V'hein lo aslo kein. But they didn't do that. Everybody settled down in their house. They finished paying their mortgages. They settled their estates. Omar shalom olacha nafshi, and they said, "I'm doing all right." Kedei shelo laharbo, says a Torah, because it would have been a bit more difficult. It would have been a bit more of a bother to have to go walk around and change society. And the failure of Sefer Shoftim was the fact that the judges, the leaders, and the people were quite comfortable where they were, with their mortgages, with their houses, with their places, and they weren't prepared to go out. And that's exactly the success of Shmuel. What we're told over here at the end of this chapter is exactly the success of Shmuel, which is that he did live in Ramah, but every day he would go to a different city, and he'd set up shop, and he'd speak, and he'd judge, and he'd preach, and he'd talk even if people wouldn't listen for decades. Because that's how change is affected. The beauty of Shmuel's leadership was it is a leadership in and amongst the people, not waiting for them to come to him. And this is the greatest of his achievements. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.